Y'all, I want to just, man, I am so thankful that I can come into this place with my family and feel the presence of God. I am so thankful. You know, when they would worship in the Old Testament, they would go to the tabernacle, and only one person could go into the place where the presence of God dwelt. And that person, he had to be really, really ready. And if he wasn't really, really ready, he could actually die. And so I am so thankful that when Jesus died on that cross and that veil was torn, come on, somebody, that I could feel the presence of the Holy Spirit in my daily life. Doesn't matter if I'm driving down 371. Doesn't matter if I'm sitting in an office looking at a computer. I can feel the presence of Almighty God, the creator and author of the very universe, stretched it out from just a small little speck into an ever-expanding still. Y'all know creation is still happening right now. Do you know that our scientists, I say are, they're not mine, I don't pay them. Somebody's scientists, they can measure this universe. And every time they do, they realize this thing is still expanding. That God is still, that creation event was so powerful, boom, that thing is still going. It's still expanding. And if you're a science nerd, that's cool. If you're not, just pretend like it's cool. Y'all, before we go into the message, I'm so excited to get in church today. I forgot my coat, so it's in the Jeep. Listen, it's about survival. That's right. It ain't about fashion when it's this hot. I want to give you just a couple of announcements, or a few announcements real quick before we go into our message here. Number one, if you want to do a little more, if you want to pour in a little bit more to the church here, I want to encourage you to sign up to be, and I say sign up, just come talk to me or Pastor Daphne, to help on a serve team. That could be helping at the door when people are coming in, making sure that folks get up these steps okay. Making sure that people know, especially visitors, where things are. You could be doing that. You could help in the parking lot, helping folks get from their vehicles to the door. You could help. There's so many places you could help. One place that we really do need help, if you want to sign up and if you feel God speaking to you about this, we need teachers. And one thing that this church has always done really well is teach. This has always been an educational church, and I grew up knowing the words Christian education, because I remember we had a Christian education department, and the Louisiana District of the Assembly of God actually had a CE department, and so I felt cool because I knew what that was even before I was grown enough to kind of know what that was. So because we had Christian education here at this church. So you know what? If you want to pour into young lives, we need teachers on Wednesday nights. We need Sunday morning teachers. And if you can't do that every Wednesday night, every Sunday morning, you know what? We're working on a rotating schedule that we're going to roll out. And listen, I just want to encourage you, be praying about that. And listen, I'm just going to warn you, these kids, sometimes they're crazy. Okay? I'm going to say that because they're in the back. They won't jump me in front of everybody. But listen, please, please, please pray about that. There's, I don't know, an investment that's better than one that goes to children, okay? We definitely want to. Hey, we want to pour into each other. We want to help each other. But any chance we get to pour into young people, children, teenagers, we absolutely want to do that. Y'all be praying for Pastor Jason, Pastor Monica. They're going into this school year, and I just see I see God doing some really neat things in the future in our children's ministry department and in our student ministry department. So y'all, please be praying for them every single day. So if you want to sign up for a serve team, just talk to me, talk to Pastor Daphne. Such a great investment. Wednesday nights, we're going to be having a relaunch event, and that's going to be September 9th, okay? And we're going to start at 6:30 that evening. Come up here, hang out. We'll probably have some food, and because that's the Assembly of God way. So, but listen, come hang out, and we're gonna relaunch our Wednesday nights. And Wednesday night, if you don't know what we do on Wednesday night, that's a teaching time. We have our youth services for our teenagers. They have a couple of different classes for the kids, and then we have an adult Bible study. We have mud bugs for the guys, and we have ladybugs for the ladies. And such a cool time. We kind of split up, but we pour into each other, and that's when we really can grow together, iron sharpening iron kind of situation. Now, the third thing I want to give to you before I start with my message is the 90-day challenge. And a few of you guys have signed up already for this on the YouVersion app. If you don't know how to do that, come talk to me. And if you're Sue, I apologize. I will get you the Wi-Fi password. Just ask Pastor Daphne, because that's who I was going to ask. But listen, if you want to sign up for this or just do it along with us, you don't have to sign up for anything. We're going to read through the entire Bible in 90 days. And it's an aggressive plan, but you can absolutely do it, okay? What this kind of breaks down to is 12 pages a day. Okay, you just read 12 pages of your Bible every single day for 90 days, and right in time for the holidays, for us to be in that spirit, you know, praising God for sending Jesus, we will have finished the Word, okay? And I want to do that as a group, and if you're game, if you're up for a challenge, then I challenge you to take this 90-day challenge with us, and it's going to be neat, and we're just going to race through the Word, and I'm excited about doing that. So if you want to do the 90-day challenge along with us, just let me know if you need any information. Otherwise, just start reading 12 pages out of your Bible. Start Tuesday. That's when we're going to start. Okay. So, all right. So let's get into the Word here. If you want to go ahead and turn to the fourth chapter of Acts, and while you're getting there, I want to give you a little background. Now we've been going through a series for the past few weeks called the I Believe series, and what we've been doing is kind of talking about the things, kind of some of our core beliefs, okay? We talked about God the Father. We talked about God the Son. We talked about the Holy Spirit. We talked about the resurrection. And today we're going to talk about the power of the name of Jesus. And so I was so glad when I saw that Pastor Daphne had picked that song for us to sing, because we say there is power in what name? The name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. So in Acts 3, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer, about 3 in the afternoon, and a man was lame from birth. He was lame from birth, was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg for those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John, and Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. That's a really cool story. And you know, something that happens in churches sometimes is we have services where people come in and they preach about healing. And even today we prayed about healing, and I believe in healing. I believe that the Bible teaches us that healing is provided for God, that when we believe and when we pray for healing, that's not something that God can't do. I believe fully that healing still happens, okay? And How many times have we seen healing happen? Probably even in this very room, we've seen healings happen. How many times have you heard about someone that was prayed for, and then something happened, something changed? We serve a healer, and Acts 4 says, "And as they were speaking to the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, greatly annoyed because they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they arrested them and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. But many of those who had heard the word believed, and the number of the men came to about 5,000. So even though they arrested Peter and John, the word still impacted hearts. On the next day, the rulers and elders and scribes gathered together in Jerusalem with Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and all who were of the high priestly family. And when they had set them in the midst, they inquired, 'By what power or by what name do you do this?' Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, 'Rulers of the people and elders, if we are being examined today concerning a good deed done to a crippled man, by what means this man has been healed, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him, this man is standing before you well. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved.'" Peter, with the burn there, call 911. There's been a murder. Let's pray before we go further into the message. God, be with your speaker today. God, help me convey this message in a way that hearts and minds are impacted. Jesus, we are so thankful for you, and we believe that your name is powerful. Be with us the rest of this morning. In your name we pray. And the church said, amen. So a couple of things before I move on here. First of all, again, Peter with the burn. I mean, you know those guys were already mad, and then Peter just throws some more truth bombs on them. And y'all know truth bombs sometimes. You ever been hit by a truth bomb? Sometimes it's not great. Sometimes I'll be rolling through and I'll think something and I'll kind of try to stand my ground on something, and I'll get hit by a truth bomb, and it's real difficult sometimes. So the first thing, Jesus' name is authority. Matthew 28:18. Can we study the Bible today? Is that okay? All right. Matthew 28 says, "And Jesus came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe what I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age.'" Now he says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Can we do a word study real quick? I want y'all to think your pastor's real smart, dude. Okay, we're going to do a word study. The word all is an ancient word, and it means all. All right, cool. Write that down in your book. All right, all means all. Husbands, when she says all the dishes, that means all of them, okay? You can't leave nothing in the sink because she going to find it. So I just, okay. Listen, and Mark 16 says, and these signs will accompany those who believe in my name. They will cast out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up serpents with their hands. Side note, we're not a snake handling church, okay? I just want y'all to know that. Okay? You know, somebody said, what kind of church is that? We said, it's an Assembly of God church. It's a fine little church. They said, well, y'all pick up snakes? I said, no, baby. No. Pastor Jason called me one time. He said, hey, can you come get a snake? Can you come get a snake from me? And I did the most manliest thing I ever did in my entire life. You know what? I went over and picked up myself a little garter snake. Looked like a little noodle. And I carried it about that far away from my body because I didn't know what he was packing, all right? And I threw him over the fence, and I thought I was pretty cool. And Jason, he took a video. I said, tag me, bruh. Tag me in that, bruh. So listen, we're not a snake-handling church, but every once in a while we do take the kids over to Gators and Friends. So anyway, where was I at? My goodness. They will pick up serpents with their hands, and if they drink any deadly poison, we don't do that here either, but we do pray over the food. And if they drink any deadly poison, it will not hurt them. They will lay their hands on the sick, and they will recover. Come on, somebody. You know what? We do these things. We do these things because we know that the name of Jesus has authority. And we walk, we get to walk with that name, and we get to serve under that name and that banner. And a young man got on to me one day because I kept saying Jesus, and he said, his name is Yeshua. And I said, I stick with stuff I can spell. Thank you. Listen. We use the name Jesus, okay? And when I get down on my knees and I'm broken, I know I can call out on that name. I know I can call out on the name of Jesus and say, Lord, save me from this situation. Give provision. Give rescue. I know I can call out on that name. And you know what? Someone, a believer in a different part of the world, may not call out on the name, specifically Jesus. But they are calling out on the same authority. Okay? So even though they may not use the same English translation name, they're calling out to the same authority. To the same Redeemer. And so let me summarize one more time real quick. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe what I have commanded you. And I'm with you. And I'm kind of going through this quick. And he also says, in his authority, we will see these signs. Demons will be cast out. New tongues will be spoken in. Danger will be avoided or shed off. That the people that operate under this name, that call on this authority, will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. See, one of the coolest things about God, about Jesus, is that we don't have to wait around until a special day. We don't have to wait till Sunday morning to get in touch with the Almighty. You know what? If something happens, you can get him right then. Okay? You know, we used to sing a song about the main line, okay? Listen, you can get a hold of your Redeemer anytime. And so there's a name. So the second thing about the name of Jesus is access. And so it would be difficult for us if we didn't know who we prayed to, if we just looked up at the sky and said, oh, big sky with your clouds, rain on me. We don't do that. We know who we're praying to. We know who we call to. We call to our Redeemer. We call to Jesus. And so John 10:9 says, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. He is the door. He is the access to the Almighty for us. We know he's the way. We know he's truth. We know he's life. And we cling to that. We have access to the Father through the Son. He is our gateway to eternity. And the name of Jesus is our authorization to work within the spiritual realm. That's why, even though you might be afraid, and listen, let me tell you something that happened to me. I was laying in my bedroom, and I was afraid because of some things that were happening. And I laid there in the dark, and I felt a presence in my room, and I felt this dark energy creeping in, and I realized that I was in the presence of a demonic entity. And I didn't know what to do, and I was afraid. And so the one thing I thought as I felt this energy becoming closer and closer and closer, and one day we'll preach on spiritual warfare, and we'll talk more about this. But as I felt this dark energy, and I felt terror coming up into my heart, the one thing I could think to do was cry out the name Jesus and operate in that authority and that authorization to work in that spiritual realm. And I called out Jesus, and no demon and no power or principality is strong enough to withstand that name and that authority. So I want you to remember that. We pray. That's why we pray. And you heard just a while ago when we prayed together, every prayer we said, we ended with what? In the name of Jesus. And that's why. Because we place the authority of Jesus on those prayers. God, we pray these things in that name because we know the authority. Okay? And we know that that's our access. So four things, and I'm going to go real quick. Number one, these are four things that the name of Jesus does even today, even in 2020, when so many things seem to be going wrong, the authority and power of the name of Jesus has not diminished. But the need to call out on that name has been magnified. So I want to point out four things that the name of Jesus still does today. Number one, the name of Jesus heals. James 5:14 says, is any among you sick? Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Some of you wonder, why is that man smearing oil all over me? Okay? The Bible tells us to do that. And the Bible tells us here in James that when something is wrong, that we pray about it. And church, God, y'all, I've been so just encouraged by this church over the past few weeks. The prayers and the perseverance and that's going to war. When you break down those barriers and you pray and you call out and you call on the authority of Jesus to intervene in your situation, that's warfare, okay? Because Satan's out there doing his thing. God be with us. Man, I've been so encouraged by this praying church. Some churches don't pray. They just go. They listen to preaching. They do whatever. That's not the way it's supposed to be. We're supposed to be active. And that's what we can do, pray. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. The name of Jesus heals. Listen, we get sick because we exist in a fallen world and in a fallen state. And sometimes the hardest question to answer is, Pastor JB, why did that happen? Pastor JB, why did this person get sick? Why did this happen? And a hard answer to give, because it's kind of got some theological roots to it, is we exist in a fallen world, okay? And although we may taste redemption, although we may cry out to Jesus, we still exist in this fallen place. And so our bodies break down, and we have to deal with sickness and issues. And that's why we preach about the resurrection, that there's coming a day when those things can't touch you, okay? But listen, we face those things, and sometimes it's a hard thing to face. But remember, the name of Jesus heals. Don't you ever think that something like cancer is bigger than Jesus. And we say that name, cancer. And the air leaves the room. But when we say Jesus, let the hope return. Come on. The second thing that the name of Jesus does, even today, is the name of Jesus saves. Acts 4:12 says, "And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." Do you remember the story of the man that was, he had some major issues, and his friends brought him to Jesus. Jesus was speaking in a place, and they couldn't get in the door. And so these guys, they must have been from the 71075, because their first method of getting in the place was climbing up on the roof and drilling a chief. They were going to vent the roof. And so they crawled up on top of the roof. They busted a hole in the thing, and they let their friend down. They probably could have, excuse me, but guys, we don't use words like that. Okay, this is such a good example of how men get so stuck on themselves. Instead of saying, excuse me, we need to get through, they climb up on the roof and bust a hole in it. So there's, yeah. Listen, so they let this man down through the roof because he needed saving from his situation. Listen, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And what happened to this guy? They let him down through the roof, and did Jesus look at him and say, "Did you come from the roof? What is this?" No. He saved that man from his situation. And you know what? Sometimes we need to be rescued from a situation. And listen, it may not be a salvation thing, okay? You might be following Jesus with all your heart, but you've got a situation that you need to be rescued from. And the name of Jesus still saves today from everything. If you've got a spiritual thing, he can rescue you. If you've got a physical thing, he can rescue you. From eternal hell or from daily hell, Jesus can rescue you. And somebody can put an amen on that. And in saving us, listen, here's the cool thing. There's so many cool things. But here's one really great thing about Jesus. When Jesus rescues us, he doesn't just pick us up and say, "Whoa, that was crazy, but you're good now." He places us in a safe place. He brings us out and puts us in a place of refuge. And so not only does Jesus rescue us, not only when we're drowning in a sea, can he reach in and pull us out, but he can secure us in a dry place and give us a means to survive the situation. So that's the second thing he does, is the name of Jesus saves even today. The third thing is Jesus, the name of Jesus frees. Galatians 5:1. And if you see me driving my truck Billy Ray around sometime, don't look at the dents on the sides, okay? And don't smell the oil. It's a leak. It's all right. It's going to be okay. Look at the back window, and there's a decal I bought when I was 19 years old because I thought it looked cool. And I didn't understand the ramifications of the Bible verse, but it's an eagle. And it says, Galatians 5:1, and it says, "For freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit yourselves again to a yoke of slavery." The name of Jesus sets us free. Free from all kinds of things. Free from things that suck the life out of us. The name of Jesus sets us free. And how do you stay free? You get out of there. Okay, he gets you free. But how do you stay free? You don't want to go back in that situation. Root yourself in church. Root yourself in prayer. Root yourself in his presence. Because spiritual freedom is not decided by our circumstances, but by our heart. There's a story that Ravi Zacharias used to tell where he went to a prison, we all know, Angola. And he walked through that place, and it was a place that seemed so hopeless. Could you imagine? This is a hard prison, and people go here to spend the rest of their life because they've stolen someone else's life. These hard people, these angry people. And Ravi encountered a man while he was there, and the man had been there for a long time, and the man would be there for a long time. He was destined to die in that prison. He would spend the rest of his life there. And he told Ravi, he said, "Ravi, it's okay. It's okay for me to spend the rest of my life behind bars. If that's what it took for my heart to be freed from the cage it was in." So even though this man would never experience freedom like we know, his spirit was free. Your spiritual freedom has nothing to do with your circumstance. It has everything to do with your heart. Protect your freedom. The name of Jesus can set you free, but you must, every day, fight for that freedom. Every day. The fourth and final thing, Luke 8:43 says, as Jesus went, the people pressed around him. And there was a woman who had an issue of blood for 12 years. That's a long time to be sick. 12 years. She had an issue of blood for 12 years. And though she had spent all of her living, all of her money on physicians, she could not be healed by anyone. Could you imagine the frustration? Dealing with a debilitating illness for that long, exhausting all of your money to try to have someone fix it, and there's no answer. Can you imagine being that frustrated? Possibly some of us have been. She came up behind him and touched the fringe of his garment, and immediately she was healed. And Jesus said, who was it that touched me? When all denied it, Peter is my favorite disciple. Because I just see, like, I'm Peter. Because sometimes Peter will say the most wise thing, and sometimes he says something, and you're like, Peter, what? Peter says, Master, the crowd surrounds you, and they're all pressing on you. And you kind of look, and you just kind of want to go, Peter. Jesus said, who was it that touched me? When all denied it, Peter said, Master, the crowds surround you and are pressing in on you. But Jesus said, someone touched me. Listen to this. For I perceive that power has gone out from me. And when the woman saw that she was not hidden, she came trembling, falling down before him and declared in the presence of all the people why she had touched him and how she had been immediately healed. He said to her, Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. When you grab a hold of Jesus, when you cling to that name and that authority, can I tell you something, church? You are empowered. And the fourth thing that the name of Jesus does, even today, the final point in this series of belief, is that the name of Jesus empowers his people. When you grab onto Jesus, when you grab onto that authority, you plug your faith into him, you plug your hope into him, you plug your belief into him, you receive that power. Thank you, Jesus, for not only being a redeemer, but being an empowering Savior. We don't just have to wait around. We don't just have to call out absently. He gives us power. He says, look, you get to go. Watch this. Jesus sent out 12 with a commission and empowerment. When the 12 came back, there were 72. And Jesus sent them out with power and commission. And when they returned, they said, Jesus, when we preach and teach and pray in your name, things happen. Miracles happen. And do you know what he did? He sent them out. And now he's calling you. He wants to empower you. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, I praise that wonderful name. God, you're so good. And you give me the power to follow you. And so as we finish our series, I want you to leave this place empowered. I want you to leave this place knowing that he's a healer, he's a redeemer, a savior, he's a freedom fighter, and he gives power. He empowers us. Thank you, Jesus. I want to do two things. I want us all to stand. We're going to pray together. And then if you want to pray individually, I want you to come meet me and Pastor Daphne and Pastor Jason will be down here. We want to pray with you. If something we said today, if something just is on your heart, come and pray with us. We want to agree with you. We want to stand with you. Let's all pray together. God, I just pray right now in this place. God, that my family...